Hi, this is Robert with P5 Radio, and this is part of our ongoing series of conversations with people who are making a difference, people we think you ought to be listening to. Our guest is Dr. Steffi Althaus. Dr. Althaus is the founder and CEO of Top Notch CEO, which is a consulting firm and a consulting firm and educational center for geeks. Is that correct, Dr. Althaus?
Yes, yes. Top Notch CEO is the umbrella company, and we have a visiting CEO, which provides hands-on executive support for geeky companies. And then we have the Top Notch CEO Academy, which provides leadership and business training and coaching for geeks by geeks, including women in STEM.
Well, that's a mouthful, but the one thing I heard that kind of ties it all together is that your business is focused on geeks.
Yes.
And I know last week we had a little fun. I mean, and so anybody who didn't get last week's podcast, I think it's available on your blog, but we talked a lot about you might be a geek if, and we had a little bit of fun with it, but...
Absolutely. You got to go and check it out.
You might just repeat what your definition of geek is for anybody who missed that first one.
Okay, so the serious version is that you're extremely passionate about the particular area that is your geek area, and you're also very, very good, very, very knowledgeable about that area, probably even a top expert in that area. And so that's the definition of geek. It has nothing to do with, you know, socially awkward or anything else. And then we have added some fun things about, you know, smart people often are capable of making really cool puns and, you know, amuse their friends with that, et cetera, et cetera. And so we had some fun with that.
Great, great. So, but in a nutshell, I mean, you provide leadership training and business coaching, and as you say, for geeks by geeks. Why is there really a need for that?
Yes, thank you for asking that. So this is, at the nutshell, really, you go to a geek school. Let's say I have a PhD in chemistry, so I went to, my geek school was chemistry graduate school, and then postdoctoral research, etc. And so all of that training was all focused on chemistry and physics and math, but not on leadership training, not on understanding how business really works. And therefore, you come out kind of clueless about, okay, so I have this great innovation, or we're making, you know, all these scientific advances. How could this ever help anyone? So, for example, if you're developing a landmine detector, and this is a technology that could really save lives, it still has to get out of your laboratory where you developed it into the world where it can make a difference. And the same is true for practically any and all outcome of any kind of geek art. And this same could even be applied to, say, a lawyer who, you know, goes to their geek school is law school. But you open a law firm, now you're in business, and you've never been trained how to do that. So that's what we're talking about. There's this big gap between talent on one hand, which we call, you know, the geeky area, and the result that you could get from that, which we could call success, or we call it wealth, which we've talked about in another interview. It's basically a three-pronged stool, or a three-legged stool, which is composed of the monetary reward, the impact that you create with your talent, your geeky area, and the quality of life that you create. So that's, in a nutshell, that gap is what we're bridging. The gap between talent and the outcome of that talent. You invent the perfect tire, now you got to put the rubber on the road somehow.
Right, right. So are there geeks out there who aren't ready or aren't really suitable for this kind of training and coaching?
Well, what the people we love to work with and who are most successful in working with us are, of course, the ones who seek that professional and personal development, and who don't want to just sit in a corner, play with work on their geeky things. Not that there is something wrong with that. However, if they have a desire to step up and become a better leader, and if they have the desire to really understand how business works, then we're a great choice. And sometimes, you know, in large companies, you have, there's actually a track where you can just be a technical expert basically all of your career. In most companies, though, that's not the case. In most companies, especially smaller and mid-sized companies, that track usually does not exist. So your career will at some point be limited. The success of it will be limited by your lack of leadership skills and your lack of business understanding. And it can hold you back severely. And the contrary is also true. It can be an unfair advantage, if you will, if you do have those skills.
I think everybody deserves an unfair advantage.
Right. And there's always those who will and those who won't. So,
but it's, and I also noticed that you talk on your website about working with women in STEM, you know, STEM being science, technology, engineering, and math. Are women in STEM geeks too?
Absolutely. Yes. So it's a sub niche. We work with geeks of various flavors, male and female. And we also really love to go into the niche, sub-niche of women in STEM. I am myself a woman in STEM. I know what that's like. I have a lot of experiences with it. And I feel like I have a lot to give to women in STEM. So that's why we decided to make that a notable focus area for our company.
Perfect. So you mentioned, actually, the last question, we were talking about geeks who are not yet suitable, but is there like a series of stages that many geeks go through as they go through their career?
Yes, absolutely. I think in the early stage, of course, you go to your geek school, and that's oftentimes a very much all-consuming activity. So it, you know, especially if you go into hard sciences or, you know, I have never been to law school, so I can't say, but I think it's also a pretty consuming activity. You focus on going to that school and learning your geek art and getting really good at it. And then as you go into the job market, you know, now, you know, you have your PhD or your MS or your BA or whatever it is. And the joke is now I want a JOB. So most of the people will start the career after the education is finished with, I mean, it's never finished, but they will go into a company and have a job. And then as they progress in that, they will be put into the position or the opportunity to take on more leadership responsibility. Oftentimes, though, for a PhD person, level person, that starts right at the beginning. So right at the beginning, you may be a leader of a project. You may have some people working with you and for you. And all of a sudden, you know, you're in a situation that you hope, you know, you just your good senses get you through and some trial and error and learning, maybe a little bit of guidance here and there. But for the most part, this is something that you do without really particularly being prepared for. And then as your career advances, that the people who usually advance the most are the people who show better leadership skills, better understanding of business and so forth. And that often has to do with, you know, did they take the time to, and did they care to, you know, acquire some of it in some way. And so we provide an actually very systematic way, very pragmatic way, very practical hard knocks kind of way to acquire these skills so that you don't have to actually stop what you're doing, which I actually considered doing, but then ended up not doing, you know, to go to an MBA school and spend 2-3 years and God knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars on an MBA degree. But rather, you know, keep going in the field that you're top expert in and at the same time flesh out your skill sets with leadership and with business understanding and have you therefore be able to either progress up the leadership ladder within a company. And that's, of course, there's more advancement levels in larger companies oftentimes. Smaller companies tend to have a flatter structure. Or at some point you may find yourself saying, you know what, it's time for me to be an entrepreneur and step out and do that. But again, then you really need the leadership and business skills or else you're going to be toast.
Right.
That's scientific for, ouch, I'm in trouble.
Ouch. Well, you know, I'm sitting here and kind of looking at this from the other side. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, seeing it from the viewpoint of a geek themselves. I mean, it seems to me that companies that employ large numbers of geeks are making a significant investment, you know, in making sure they're productive, making sure they're happy, making sure they're retained because turnover is so expensive. What kind of an ROI, I guess, should companies and corporations expect from the kind of work that you do for their geeks?
A tremendous ROI. I mean, this is not measured in a few percent, but it measured in factors of, you know, fairly large numbers. So, for example, if you think about, you know, even a starting PhD is going to make, you know, a high end, what is that, a high end five figure income. And after a little bit of progression, a six figure income. It could even start perhaps at a six figure income, depending on, you know, what exactly the field is. And so oftentimes the loss of someone equates to something like a two or three times of an annual salary of a person like this. So you can see that that's extremely serious money. And the drain of talent from a company. I mean, we're not talking about people who are selling socks. Nothing against people who sell socks, by the way. But we're talking about people who have skills that maybe you scour, you know, not just one country, but multiple countries to even attract this talent to your company. And now, like a company I worked for, you know, they had basically at least a third, if not half, of the world's pool of expertise in a particular field attracted in their company. So, you know, so think about that. So it's hard to even replace that no matter what the money looks like. So you want to keep those people, especially the people who are willing to also understand the business side, who can and have enough leadership abilities, or at least the willingness to acquire it, so that they can really help mitigate that gap between, you know, the geek talent area, which a lot of high-tech companies are really, really good at, and converting that, transforming that into commercial success and business success, and therefore rewards for everyone involved. That chasm, those people are the best at helping the crossing of that chasm. In my experience, if you hire, let's say, a business person, a marketing person who has no technical expertise, they usually find it very, very difficult to A, understand the technical area, and B, earn the respect of the scientists they're working with. So it is, in my experience, easier to take a person who has the technical expertise and train them in business and leadership, if they're willing, and let them progress to higher and higher leadership positions that way.
Makes sense. But these principles apply. I mean, we've been talking about kind of a large corporate setting with a fair number of geeks that are working there. But I mean, you work with smaller companies, and you also work with entrepreneurial geeks as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. We do. And when you think about, so we work also with executives. And of course, at the moment a geek quits a company and says, I'm going to start my own company, now they're a business owner. And now they are actually a CEO of their own business. And so now, you know, think like a top-notch CEO and be rewarded like one. Or don't think like one, and you're probably out of business soon after you started.
Well, we don't want to dwell on that, but I think you do have the antidote for that problem. So really, I mean, I want to call out the name of your website and the company to everybody again, so that they can contact you, because on your website, you do offer a free personal consultation with people that might be interested in learning from you and availing themselves of your service. So my guest was Dr. Steffi Althaus. Dr.
Althaus. If I may,
Yes, please.
If I may add one thing to this. You know, I just want to convey that the same geeky passion that we talked about at the beginning of the interview is what we apply in our work. We're extremely passionate about sharing with the people we work with all the things that we have learned over the years to really transform your talent, your tremendous talent that we so honor, into making a difference, into creating the money that you need to continue working in what you love to do, and also, you know, take care of your children, yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And also enjoying a great quality of life, because you deserve it. And I have an extreme passion, and the people working in our company have an extreme passion for making sure that your talent gets, you know, lived out loud on. I'm not sure that was grammatically correct, but anyway, that you can live out loud on your talent, and that the worst vision I have is, you know, that someone might have a tombstone on their grave that says, still so much talent inside, too bad nobody cared to unlock it. We really care to unlock it.
All right. So you can find Dr. Steffi on the web at topnotchceo.com. And that's where you can avail yourself. You can sign up, and she'll do a personal consultation with you. I think that's a great service, and people should avail themselves of it. So
yeah, it's actually free.
Dr. Atlas, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this segment. Look forward to the next segment, and we'll see you on the radio.
Thank you.
All right.